T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
My name is Gary Parish. I'm speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Brad Carson's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles. No disruptions.
Well, Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you like NBA mock drafts, specifically NBA mock drafts. Projecting an NBA draft that's not going to happen for more than a year because... we talked about one yesterday. We're going to talk about another today. They both have James Wiseman, soon-to-be East High graduate, soon-to-be University of Memphis freshman, going number one overall. And the explanation yesterday from Jonathan Givony, ESPN, and today Sam Vecenie from The Athletic for why they're convinced now that Wiseman should go number one in 2020. Interesting twist to the reputation of the talented big man. Get into that momentarily. First, though, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. 420, Keith Easterwood is my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. The nation's leading authority, Hobo's Hero Street Corner Clowns. He knows Sam Sausagehead personally. He'll be here in about 20 minutes. I'll ask him what's up. He'll tell me what's up. Finish that segment. I'll do four notable stories, 444, at which point... I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the Bucks completed a four-game sweep of the Pistons last night. Up next, a seven-game series with the Boston Celtics. That should be fun. Talk about that around 4:44. Got three teams in a position to close out first-round series tonight, namely the Raptors, Sixers, and Blazers. So it's a busy night in the NBA. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. Luke Walton, Sacramento Kings coach, has been accused of sexual assault by a media member with whom he used to work.
Ooh,
that's a rough story. Could cost him his job. I'll tell you about that just before 5 o'clock. And Cole Anthony, the top available guard in the class of 2019, publicly committed to North Carolina this morning. It's a reminder that UNC recruiting is getting back to normal now that the NCAA cloud has been lifted. Talk about that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins. Just like always, he had Jeffrey Wright, his producer, put up a poll this morning asking Memphis fans if they like the Liberty Bowl being home to their University of Memphis Tigers, because there was a list on the internet that said the Liberty Bowl is one of the worst college football stadiums in the United States of America or anywhere else in this world.
Yeah. Jeff likes doing polls.
That's what she said.
Can't set yourself up, Brad.
Sorry.
Particularly when it's not done well.
Sure.
Like if it was perfectly executed, I'd sign off on it.
I got you.
Jeff does like polls, though. He likes putting polls on the.
That's what she
on
said.
Twitter now. Why would she say that, by the way?
She's at the club.
Why would she say that?
A strip club. They got them polls.
And she would say Jeff likes polls. Why would she say that?
He likes it
under,
on the poll.
Under what circumstances? No,
maybe Jeff going to the
that?
Club. He's lonely. You can
swim when the stars in the ooh. You want to restart the show?
Nah.
Can we restart?
I don't want to totally start over. You're almost through the tease.
So Jeff put a poll up on Twitter earlier today asking folks if they like the Liberty Bowl as the University of Memphis football program's home. And surprisingly, at least to me, more people than not are saying, yes, I enjoy the Liberty Bowl as the University of Memphis football program's home. And I think that's crazy because it really is not great for the University of Memphis program. It's too big, so it looks terrible on television. Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it.
No, okay.
Don't do it. too big, so it looks terrible on television. Even when they have a nice crowd, it looks like nobody's at the game.
Yeah.
That creates the perception of your football program. That's a bad thing for the football program. Plus, an on-campus stadium, and I'm not trying to, like, start a campaign to get one, although I'd love one, but an on-campus stadium would be a
Sounds
magnet
like you are, Gary.
For your campus. It would bring people back to the campus. You're doing all these other amazing things on campus, but here's the truth. People don't come to see your new science building. People don't come to see your new whatever. But a football stadium on your campus, it brings people back to the campus, even graduates like me who don't get over there too often, and you go, oh, wow, this is new. Oh, wow, this is nice. That's what an on-campus football stadium can do, and I wish more Memphis fans would get behind the idea of that as opposed to being content with what they have, because what they have is not very good. I feel like Memphis football fans are in a little bit of like those people you know who are in just terrible relationships, but they don't know any better.
Oh, no.
Because it's the relationship.
It's all they've known.
It's all they've ever known. And so.
And they kind of dress it up a little bit too sometimes.
Well, the Liberty Bowl experience is better today than it was 5 years ago, better today than it was 10 years ago. And so I think Memphis fans, the ones that check the yes box on that poll, do you like the Liberty Bowl as the home of the Memphis Tigers? I think what they're doing is going, was it's so much better than it used to be.
Right.
Yeah, it is so much better than it used to be. Still not good.
Right.
Still not good.
That visual's tough.
You know, I mean, they got a water fountain now.
Blue water fountain, Gary.
Congratulations, but it's still not nice. Like, it's still a, you know, you can take a crap house and, like, put a some hardwood floors in it, right? But you still got a crap house.
Have you seen the locker rooms, though, Gary? The pictures, they look great.
Yeah, and, you know, any new stadium would also have great-looking locker rooms. Most stadiums have great-looking locker rooms. And so, I don't know. I'll talk to Jeff about that. He'll be there. He'll be here a little after 5 o'clock. Then at 5:20, Sam Vecenie has updated his 2020 mock draft over at The Athletic. This comes one day after ESPN's Jonathan Cavone did the same thing. Yesterday, Jonathan had James Wiseman going number one. Today, Sam Vecenie had James Wiseman going number one. I'll talk to him about that at 5:20. Also about the 2019 NBA draft that's a few months away. Is there anybody that could reasonably slip to eight if the Grizzlies are picking eight that Grizzlies fans could get excited about? I'll ask Sam Vecenie that around 5:20. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and we'll get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with James Wiseman because, like I said, another day, another 2020 NBA mock draft has been published, this time at The Athletic, and it's got James Wiseman going number one. And what's interesting to me is that in the past 3 days, Jonathan Gavone, who evaluates prospects for a living, Evan Daniels, who evaluates prospects for a living, and Sam Vecenie, who evaluates prospects for a living, have all either written about or talked about James Wiseman and why they think he is now the most obvious player to, A, be the number one prospect in the class of 2019, but B, be selected first in the 2020 NBA draft after 1 year at the University of Memphis. And they all touched on the same thing that is not something you would have heard, I don't think, any of them touch on a year ago. And they all talked about his motor.
Yeah.
And his intensity. And the level of effort he spent the past month playing with while playing against and overwhelming, more often than not, the other best amateur basketball players or high school prospects in the country, one after another. You know, if you heard Evan Daniels on this station yesterday, or you read Jonathan Gavone, or you read Sam Vecenie, they all talk about James Wiseman now going every possession, working every possession, fighting every possession. And that's just not something people said about him a year ago. In fact, that was the knock on him. People questioned, does he have a motor that runs the way you need it to run to be special? Because being as naturally gifted and physically gifted as he is, that will get you very far, even if you don't have a motor. That'll get you to be, you know, an All-American high school player.
Yeah.
It'll get you to be college All-American as well. But it is impossible to be great at the highest level of the sport if you don't have a gear that runs full speed. It doesn't necessarily have to run full speed all the time. NBA players take off possessions all the time. Not really in the playoffs, but certainly in certain times in an 82-game schedule. LeBron James, arguably the greatest basketball player to ever live, is publicly acknowledged as much. Before the season really went bad on the Lakers and they missed the playoffs, LeBron actually said, I'm about to go into playoff mode with playoff intensity, which means I'm now going to put it into another gear. Didn't work out for him. But by acknowledging I'm going to start playing differently starting now, you are acknowledging that I haven't always been doing that throughout an 82-game schedule.
Right.
And perhaps there's a there's a sensible reason why. Because at his age, maybe you just can't go nonstop the way you used to. You could have hit the button right there.
That's what she said.
Sorry, a little slow on the trigger there.
It's okay. But either way, LeBron's got a gear, and when he needs to push into it, he can. That was the question about James Wiseman. The only question about James Wiseman.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever questioned whether he can be an elite rim protector, whether he can dunk everything around the rim, whether he can step away from the basket and knock down a jumper. Doesn't mean that I need him taking 4 3-pointers a game next season, but he can take 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
He can at least be a threat from the perimeter. He can be in theory, a big at the next level who stretches the floor and creates space. I don't know if that's what you want him to be, but he has the ability. He's shown the ability to be able to do it. Everybody's known how he runs. And Mike DeCourcy, a longtime college basketball writer, Sporting News, has described him as the best running big he's ever seen. That's an incredible compliment.
Yeah, I'd say.
So,
wow.
Nobody's ever questioned the physical tools at all. They've always been there. The question has always been, but then why doesn't he dominate every possession the way he should? Because I've seen that with my own eyes. I'd go to Peach Jam in recent years, and you watch Marvin Bagley, and even if his team wasn't good, Bagley was getting 30 and 15. Like, he was going to get his, and he was going to work harder than you. And that's an incredible combination. When somebody who is more talented than you is going to work harder than you. And then you'd move to the next summer, and Marvin Bagley's gone, DeAndre Ayton's gone, James Wiseman is supposed to be the elite big in this class. And it'd be like, he's obviously super talented, but like, why did he just grab 4 rebounds in a basketball game? 7'1", incredible wingspan, incredible athlete. Why did he only get 4 rebounds?
Right. Why did he
blend in? Why did he disappear? Why didn't he dominate the way we've seen other bigs on similar stages dominate consistently? Like, you might go see him in the summer, and you watch 3 games. And in one game, you'd go, that's the future number 1 pick in the draft. In another game, you'd go, he looked really good. And then another game, you'd go, well, what's the problem here?
Right.
With some of the other elite bigs in recent years, it really didn't, like, every time you saw DeAndre Ayton, it was like, okay, that's a different dude. Every time you saw Marvin Bagley, it was like, that's a different dude.
Right.
Sometimes with Wiseman, you'd start to have more questions than answers. But if he's resolved that now, I mean, watch out. Because
monster frame.
Like, if he's resolved answered the questions about whether he wants to go as hard as he needs to go, then that just takes him to another level. It makes him scarier than he otherwise would be. It makes him more impactful, presumably, as a freshman at the University of Memphis than he otherwise would be. And it would be one thing if one person was saying this. Like, if I just heard Evan Daniels yesterday on radio say it, but I hadn't heard anybody else. Because you could go, well, Evan's tight with the family, obviously. Of course, he's going to say positive things about James Wiseman on radio in Memphis because, James might be listening, the mother might be listening, whatever. Not that Evan would do that because, he came on yesterday and said, Jeff asked him about DJ Jeffries, and he was like, yeah, he's a 4-year player probably. Even if he didn't want to hear that, that's probably what he is.
That's true.
So not that Evan would do that, but, you could – my point is 3 respected people who evaluate prospects for a living and who have been evaluating James Wiseman for years are now saying things about him after seeing him for the past month, saying things about him that they didn't say a year ago that almost nobody said a year ago, and that's that he seems to be playing with a purpose every possession, seems to be playing hard every possession. And I don't know if that's just the byproduct of him getting stronger, of him getting older, or if it's the byproduct of like a switch actually flipping. But either way, I don't care what the root of it is. I just want to know that it's there. Because that is the one thing that keeps, not the one thing, but it's the main thing that keeps super talented people from being what they otherwise would be. They just don't work as hard as they ought to. Mm-hmm. There are players who are going to be selected in this June's NBA draft who are incredibly gifted, but people don't know if they play hard all the time, and people don't know if they want to. I told you at the Final Four, I bumped into somebody who expressed that concern about Cam Reddish. Does he love it? Does he want to go? Do you have to ask him to go to the gym, or is he in the gym? Yeah, you have to ask him. You have to beg him to play hard.
Mm-hmm.
I remember John Calipari always talking about that. Don't make me spend practices or games begging you to play hard. Let me spend practice and games trying to make you better or put you in a position to be better. Don't make me beg you to play. Don't make me beg you to run. Don't make me beg you to fight. If I have to beg you to fight, you got a problem. And for a while, people have had to beg James Wiseman to go. But if that's not the case anymore, if he's operating with a great motor, if not every possession, then at least every game. Like every game you walk out of the gym going, okay. And now he's not just the most talented guy on the floor. He's also working as hard, at least as hard as everybody else on the floor. Well, then, yeah, that's how you become a college All-American in 1 year. It's how you become the number one pick in the 2020 NBA draft, which is now what basically everybody projects him to be. Sam Vecenie, who works for The Athletic and published that mock draft earlier today, he's going to join me right around 5:20, so I'll ask him questions about James Wiseman then. But when we come back, he's my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Keith Eastwood up.
More phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the
I got a Facebook message from somebody. They said the advantage to having an off-campus stadium like the Liberty Bowl is that you could sell beer there, but if you had an on-campus stadium at the University of Memphis, you wouldn't be able to sell beer, which I think is something some people believe. It's not true. There's nothing that prevents a university from selling alcohol at sporting events on campus except themselves. Like, if you go to an Ohio State football game, that stadium is on campus. You can also buy a beer at that stadium.
Yeah,
so,
same way.
So if Memphis had an on-campus football stadium and wanted to sell beer at it, it certainly could. Jeff Calk is going to join me at 5 o'clock. We'll get back into his conversation that started this morning about whether the Liberty Bowl is a good home that Memphis fans appreciate for the Tiger football program. Sam Vecenie going to join me around 5:20, talk NBA mock drafts with him. But right now, he's my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. Nation's leading authority, Hobos, Heroes, Street Corner Clowns. No Sam Sausage Head. It's Keith Eastwood making the big interview.
Keith Eastwood is presented by Old Dominic Distillery. It's the one and only Keith Eastwood.
Hey, Brad.
Yep.
Die, Brad. Die.
Local basketball expert, talking Hobos, Heroes, and Street Corner Clowns on 92.9's Gary Parrish Show.
Eastwood, what's up with it?
What up, G?
Just trying to get through the day. What are you doing?
I mean, they moved me to third shift, not that nobody gives a rest. That's what I work, because the guy got sick, which, well, I'm sick too. They're like, you want to fill in? So you go to third shift in the manufacturing environment, and that means there's nobody there, so I'm the boss, and so I go to YouTube and watch The Wire all night, for the most part, as long as people do. Yeah, and so Marlo, and there can't be a better character in TV than Omar and McNulty. So I've enjoyed that. If you've never seen The Wire, it's interesting. Whoever did that knows that they know the dope game. They knew the newspaper game. They knew the political game, the police game. But the other night, and I thought about you and I tweeted it.
Well, let me ask you this first. Have you never seen, are you watching The Wire for the first time or you've seen it before?
Oh, hell no. I watched it religiously when it first came out. No. I was addicted to it.
It really is. For people who've watched it, I think they would agree. If you haven't watched it, I know sometimes you hear so much about a show and everybody says it's great, and you're like, well, it can't be that great. Like,
yeah,
this,
yeah.
It really is as excellent as people say. I don't understand how you could watch it and not, A, enjoy it, but, B, learn a whole lot about the inner city that you live around but probably don't know anything about because – though inner-city Baltimore works a lot differently than inner-city Memphis, it's all the same elements of poverty and drugs and hopelessness. It's a tremendous television show that if somebody wanted to call it the best television show ever made, I wouldn't disagree with them.
Yeah, and it's people being mean, rotten, and evil, and capping people. And, you know, I never sold dope on a corner, but I had nickel dimes and whatever and make some money. But anyway, that's a whole nother story.
Let me stop you again real quick. Give me your best. How did you actually get into drug dealing?
I was 13 years old. We were running games over by the University of Memphis, Memphis State at the time. Me and a guy named Jeff Young, I had a bicycle, the Gray Ghost. I forgot what the brand was. Anyway, so this guy right next to Poncho's was like, hey, well, y'all deliver these lunch bags, little brown paper bags. And so most of them, at the time, if you remember, or some people remember, the athletic dorm was right there adjacent to Southern, and that's where all the athletes stay. So to be honest with you, 90% of our deliveries went to the athletic dorm.
Oh,
right?
No.
On the door and hand football players, basketball players, whoever, huh? And so however they did the money, no money stays hands with us. And so I was kind of mannish and roguish and trying to survive. So, like, I don't know, we did like 3 or 4 days a week. We got $2 a delivery.
Oh, wow.
So you go to McDonald's. Yeah, it wasn't bad money in 1973. And
hey.
So I looked in the bag one day, and I told this guy, I said, we're delivering marijuana. And he's like, really? We never looked. We never thought about it. So we go another week or two. And it would be highs and lows where you would go and do a lot. I mean, some days he'd be like, he would write the address down, you know. So we'd be riding our bicycles. A Swin Gray Ghost, that was the bike. And so about 3 weeks into it, I told my friend, I said, you know what? Damn the $2. Let's get our own product and sell our own. So I told the guy, I said, man, damn the $2. Like, let's come up with a way where you give us product and we can hustle with our friends. He's like, you a smart little SOB. And I said, yeah, well, okay. So we wound up letting the product build up. And it's like 73, so I'm 13, so don't all the purists out there, oh, I can't believe it. There's so much stuff I can tell, but people be like, oh, you shouldn't tell that. Well, I'm going to tell you. If I tell it on me, you can't tell it on me, so it's okay. And so we would let it build up to maybe a half an ounce, and then either sell it the whole thing at one time or bust it up in little manila envelopes or whatever. And so we wound up making more money, and that went on for like, I don't know, about a year and a half. And then we ride our bikes over there one day, and the police are all in front of this apartment.
Oh, yeah, that's usually the way it goes.
Yeah, that's the way it went. So we just kept on riding. But anyway, so the other day, thanks for making me tell that. You and Vernon bring the worst out of me. Anyway, I miss Chris Vernon. And
I do, too.
Yeah, I know. I know Brad.
Me too.
Sorry, Brad. And so Westbrook the other day, Gary, and I thought about you and even Calkins and people that do what you do. I've done pregame interviews with coaches when I did the Memphis Tiger pregame and postgame show before Dave Lotion got me fired. And they asked Westbrook, this guy was asking Westbrook good questions, and I didn't pick up on it, but next question. That was his Westbrook's answer. And I'm like, so I tweeted, well, you just talk damn basketball. You know, then people incorporated and they brought you into it and Calkins into it. All I want as a fan, like last night I stayed up to 1:30, which I stay up at night now because I don't want to get my sleep patterns messed up. When the game's over, like I thought Durant did a good job the other day talking about Patrick Beverley. I want to hear coaches talk about strategy. I mean, I can watch the game. You didn't make shots and you didn't rotate on defense. You didn't do this. And I thought You know, what Utah did last night with James Harden was fascinating in terms of they ran people at him all night long to make him get rid of the ball. But I thought about, have you ever had anybody to be like Westbrook with you in a post-game interview situation?
No. I remember one time, John Calipari snapped at me one time.
But
he was putting on a show for everybody else. He wasn't.
Right.
It wasn't really about me as much as he was just putting on a show, so I didn't really take offense.
Right.
And I remember one time at maybe ABCD camp, but this is when OJ Mayo was like the biggest deal in the world.
I remember.
And it had been reported that he had committed to USC, but he hadn't publicly acknowledged that yet. And he was going to have a media availability, like, you know, 17-year-old O.J. Mayo at ABCD camp. But they come to us beforehand, and they said, you're not, you know, we're not going to take any questions on USC, so don't even ask them. And I was like, well, like, that's the only thing anybody cares about right now as it relates to him. We have to ask the question. They say, you can't ask the question. I said, well, or what? What are you going to do if I ask the question? What are you going to do? You can't kick me out of the place. You're just going to run away with O.J. Mayo? And they were like, you know, if you ask the question, we'll shut it down. And I said, I don't care. I'm going to ask the question, just like Barry Trammell's doing. And so, you know, O.J. Mayo's there, and I say something along the lines of, O.J., it's been reported that you have committed to USC, but you haven't publicly said anything about it one way or another. Have you committed to USC? Is that where you plan to go to school? We're not taking questions on where he's going to college. And they said, you ask one more question like this, we're going to shut it down. And I was like, OJ, do you have an answer to that question? I just was not going to budge. And they didn't shut it down, but like it was similar in the sense that you're not going to tell me what I can ask. This is a press conference. I can ask whatever I want. You cannot answer it the same way Russell Westbrook is choosing to not answer Barry Trammell, but you're not going to dictate what I can ask. And that's probably the most contentious it's ever been.
was his. I watched his stepdad.
There's another one. Lionel Hollins snapped at me one time.
So I watched his O.J. stepdad at an AAU national tournament. And the game is going on. A little bitty guy, goofy-looking guy. And the game is going on, and everybody on the bench is facing the floor. And he literally had turned his chair. Must have been the 9th or 10th grade. And he was facing the crowd. And he was during the game. I watched this idiot do this. He was entertaining shoe people who would come up and talk to him, and I'm like, this ain't going to end well. So I don't know what happened to him, and I've seen a lot of crazy stuff, obviously, over the years. But no, I thought about you, and again, I say this, and people on Twitter, I think they took it wrong. I don't care what you talk in terms of politics or guns or whatever, because if I don't want to listen to it, I'll turn you off. I don't listen to Stephen A. and this other guy, Will Cain, when they come on, I put it on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives because I don't want to hear their diatribe. But I will say this. I enjoyed Calkins' interview with Evan Daniels yesterday about recruiting. I know Penny and them have got, you know, Precious in. And what's the coach that I texted about Watford last night I texted the same text, Watford ? He texted back, so he's trying to get in the game. So who knows? Either way, they're going to have a good recruiting class. I think that the quality of play next year is worth Tiger fans being excited about. Schedule's a little bit better. Maybe the home schedule could be divvied up and made a little bit better. But a lot of good things are going on. It looks like, Gary, that staff is going to stay intact, which I think is important. If you've not seen Sam Mitchell doing some TV during the NBA playoffs, you're missing out on his intellect and his knowledge of the game. And so it's a good time. It's an exciting time. We're about to get into, you know, Milwaukee, Boston, and Golden State and Houston. And so, and I dread it, and I don't, because when it's over, I don't have nothing to watch. You know what I'm saying? And so, but it's a good time. And baseball's a hard thing to watch on TV, and I don't do hockey. So, but I'm excited about what I'm hearing about, obviously, with Tiger basketball.
I'm hoping that I get more interested as the NBA playoffs unfold than I am right now. Because even last night, you know, my middle dude had baseball practice, so we went to that and we got home. And then we watched baseball. I didn't even watch the NBA games last night. I watched baseball. And now tonight, because I'm interested in the Damian Lillard Russell Westbrook thing, like that has become a storyline. I'll have that on, but at this, like, so far in the playoffs, I haven't watched much of these NBA playoffs just because I feel like I know who's going to win, and I'm just ready for the next round. Now, we're going to get Milwaukee-Boston. That could be fun.
Yeah.
Houston-Golden State. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's about to tick up a notch, but so far, I don't know. The fact that ratings are significantly down is not surprising to me.
No, and a guy called me the other night, a guy that's coached for a long time. We just stayed friends, and I don't know, man. And I've been blessed, Gary, and I got a lot of good things going on in life. And a guy calls, just, Eastwood, how you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm good, man. I ain't puke, you know. My right side's not purple, and I ain't got this and whatever. And we got to talk in the game. And so it's become, and I'm an old head. So an old head, you went 3-2 on offense. You played high-low. You tried to feed the post. You tried to shoot the ball closest to the bucket that you can. Well, hell, the other night, Houston shot 13 threes in a row.
Right.
And so even my wife and I will be down here, and she'll be like, you know, and I'll turn channels. And I'll watch, you know, Law & Order SUV or whatever, and she's like, what are you doing? I said, this is boring. It's not good basketball, but I'm like you. I think the second round will be better. But even – you know, to a degree on the collegiate level. I mean, the game, the three-pointer for people like me has changed the game. Not that I dislike it. I get it. But it's changed, and it's made it difficult. And so if you're, you know, when people talk Jordan's better, LeBron's better, Kareem's better, that is so subjective and generational because those guys, a lot of people who watch LeBron going up didn't see Jordan. They didn't see Kareem. They didn't see Russell. So they don't know. And I'm lucky enough to be old enough to have seen all those guys. So it is subjective, obviously. But the game is just so different now. In Houston, I mean, they just put your head down and go one-on-one. I don't enjoy that. I enjoy people coming off the picks, running some offense, moving without the ball. So I really like Boston. I enjoy watching them play. And that was my enjoyment where people – even during the NCAA tournament, complained about Virginia, you know, where they came down, they ran clock. And I'm not a shot clock fan, beyond with you, because if there was a time and point in life where if I came out in the fourth quarter and was up by five, I spread the floor and I got a book, and I ran a true Dean Smith four-corner offense. And when I put it in, even when we won the national championship, we ran it. In 2014. So when I put it in, kids were like, well, this is boring. Well, winning is not boring, dumbass. So shut up and do what I tell you to do. Which you can't, you know, you can't say that to kids anymore. But the first time we ran it, and there's principles to it. So if you don't get doubled, it's a one-on-one. If they don't push up, you run clock. I mean, there's principles to how to run any offense, but especially a true four-corner offense without a shot clock. And so the first time we ran it, I put the ball in my best ball handler's hand, and he stood there, and I kept saying, wait, defender pushed up, and he blew by me and then got a layup. So now the next time, because teams are not taught defensive responsibility and discipline, now they send a guy from the corner to double him with a guy who came to double. His guy breaks to the goal. You throw it. Guess what he does? He goes in and lays it up. So now they call timeout because they don't know what the hell to do, and now the kids are like, man, that's some neat stuff. I'm like, yeah, I've been telling you when we needed it, you know, it'll work. So the game has changed. It is hard to watch. I can see why ratings are down. They keep calling this stuff with Detroit and them or whatever, a fight. I don't want no fight. These guys have no heart for the fight. They're not throwing no blows. They're going to push each other. Not that I'm advocating fighting, although I saw a video today of a Nazi getting knocked the hell out. That was kind of funny on YouTube. I mean, on Twitter. But so – anyway, so I'm enjoying it while I can. The best thing is 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning is Kenny, Charles, and Shaq, and Ernie. And so I'm trying to get whatever enjoyment out of it that I can.
Wrapping up here with Keith Easterwood. He's on Twitter, at Easterwood Key. What do you got to say before you go?
I don't have nothing to say. I'm enjoying life, man. I'm doing what I got to do. You queuing me up?
You getting into that old Dominic out there?
Yeah, you know, I guess it was last week. I went to lunch with Alex Finale, and he gave me a case of it, and he gave me some toddy, which I have not tried, and he gave me some bourbon, which I have not. I'm not big on brown. Last time I drank brown, I was 17. They bought me a fifth of Jack Daniels. not to get away from old Dominic. And I damn near drank the whole thing. Went to McDonald's. Used to be on Highland. I think they've moved it now. Highland and Spotswood. And this girl was with her boyfriend, and she was, like, chewed her food. It was, like, 11 or 12 o'clock. And she opens her mouth with all this chewed up food. And so the B word jumped out of me. Well, he jumped up. I was with four or five of my friends. They was not going to let me get whooped. So he jumps up, and I ralph the whole building out. I mean, I ralphed a river. I threw up a river. The manager comes over. Everybody got up and ran out but me because I couldn't because I was cold. So ever since that day, I just don't drink brown. But we are having, oh, God, we're having a ghetto party here July 4th. I say that because she's doing it with a lady named Tanisha. And I told her last night, I said, I don't do people coming to the house real well. And she's like, look, we'll do it one night. We'll play dominoes. We'll play spades. They'll go out back and get high. And we'll have ribs and stuff and all that. And I'm like, and I'm not into it, but it's going to happen. I love my wife, so I'll make her happy for that one night. So we'll do a July 4th party. But I'm just trying to enjoy day by day. Gary, look, get another day. Man, God bless you. That's all I can say.
That says it all. That's Keith Eastwood.
Shouts to old Dominic.
And Tanisha.
And Tanisha.
Tell Tanisha. Hey,
did you, yeah, well, she gets on my nerves, too. She came over one night, down there, drank a fifth of my vodka.
Oh, no.
Did you, hey, Gary, did you see Brad's text this morning?
Did I see Brad's text? Was, I don't think I read it.
Barron was the first one on there.
I don't think
I
he ignores my text, Keith. He ignores mine. He's got me on mute.
I'm aware that a text message string
he muted
exists,
it.
But I don't.
Gary,
I knew
Gary,
it didn't really have anything to do with me, so
no,
I didn't feel like
no,
I needed to read it.
He passed it along.
When you get a chance, read it, because you just queued me up for old Dominic. Brad was going to queue me up for something else. So old Dominic, Memphis vodka, and it's really good. Memphis water, they've got all the flavors. I've been to four liquor stores. I did this on purpose because I'm involved, you know. So I drive in, I say, man, give me some. You got old Dominic, and three liquor stores I went to were sold out. Two of them had two bottles of the toddy. So it's selling good. It's doing good. They're really growing it. They've got a deal this weekend, Spirits and Soul Fest, April 26th and 27th. You can get free tickets through me. It's a $200 deal at Easterwood Keith on Twitter. So the first night is trolley night. And they're actually introducing a new product. It's so secret and so new, Alex wouldn't tell me what it was. And so from 6 to 9 Friday, you go down, and, you know, me and the wife have been to festivals downtown, be it Beale Street or whatever, and on the trolley line. It's a lot of fun, food and vendors and people, and people act stupid. And when people drink, they do stupid stuff. And then the block party is going to be Saturday, 12:30 to 3:30. Again, New Amsterdam. I mean, oh, shit. And old Dominic's going to have a new product. They're constantly coming out with new products. That's their whole drive right now, is to keep introducing new products into the business. And so it's a good deal. So I would encourage you to go down. If you want to go, you can get tickets through me. Last week when we got off, Gary, I was amazed at how many people had hit me on Twitter to get the two tickets. And so Alex had asked me, actually, we were at lunch and people were still sending me tweets like, hey, what about tickets? What about the tickets? So that was like a day later. So there's a lot of interest in it. It's growing. I think it's a festival that's going to get bigger and bigger for the city of Memphis. And in my small way, I'm just proud to be involved. So, again, this weekend, trolley night, Friday night, block party Saturday, spiritandsoulfest.com, olddominic.com. And I would encourage you to check it out. The website is really, really neat. Gives you a history. This product goes back to Prohibition, and again, I'm just tickled to be involved. So,
that's Keith Eastwood. He'll be back next Tuesday, right around 4:20. I'll see you. All right.
All right, but love you guys.
Love
you,
Brad.
Keith. Thank you.
Block that out, Brad.
I will, and yeah, thank you, Keith. I actually been to that old Dominic downtown. It's cool. It's across from Gus's. It's awesome. So.
When we come back, Luke Walton is now facing sexual assault allegations. Is that going to cost him his job with the Kings? We'll get into it next.
Memphis, with crazy good players, unicorns, and now crazy amounts of cash. It's Unicorn Cash. Win yours starting Monday every hour from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m.
Wow, my goodness. Listen at the top of every hour for the code word. Text that word to 72881. Data message rate supply national contest. Memphis with crazy good players, unicorns, and now crazy amounts of cash.
This is crazy.
From 92.9 FM ESPN.
With three casinos, it's three times the fun. At our 400...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Sacramento Kings coach Luke Walton has been accused of sexual assault in a lawsuit by a former sports reporter. The reporter is named Kelly Tennant, and she has filed a suit in Los Angeles County Superior Court alleging sexual assault, an incident that happened when Luke was still an assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors. So before he was head coach of the Lakers, obviously before he was head coach of the Sacramento Kings. The allegations are pretty gross. He's supposed to be helping her with a book. He says, meet me at a hotel. She meets him in the lobby. He says, hey, let's go up to my room. And then he, you know, forcibly puts himself on her, you know, pins her down, all sorts of stuff. And she eventually leaves, but not without that story. Now, the question becomes, is it true? Right. And
yeah,
the answer to that is who knows? Yeah. Probably only Kelly and Luke. At this point, but if the allegations are even close to true, he cannot continue as Sacramento Kings head coach. But like, even if it is true, how is she going to be able to prove this?
I know.
All these years later, the LA PD has said that it was never brought to their attention ever, so she never went to cops.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's filed this lawsuit, and it's led to Luke Walton's attorney saying she is an opportunist. The claim allegations are baseless,
yeah.
And so. On one hand, you go, well, listen, if this happened to you, why wouldn't you go to police?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this just coming out now? Except what we know from talking about these types of things is that people don't always respond to sexual assaults the way you think you would if you were sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not good enough to completely discredit her. You know, the other hand is like, okay, well, if somebody says, well, she's lying, like who could pot, like, you got to be a complete maniac to make allegations like this against somebody unfounded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're not only ruining his reputation, you could be ruining his career, costing him millions of dollars. So I don't know. If you thought I was going to sit here and tell you what to believe when it comes to this thing, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I don't have any idea what to believe, but it's a pretty ugly story. I guess I'd bottom line it this way. If he actually did this, I hope that he is held accountable in every way that he can be held accountable. And if he didn't, and these allegations are false, well, then I hope she's held accountable, however she can be held accountable.
Story number two.
The Milwaukee Bucks completed a sweep of the Detroit Pistons last night. 127-104 was the final score. Over a four-game stretch, it was the second most lopsided series in the history of the NBA in terms of point differential. So now the Bucks advance to the Boston Celtics, and hopefully this is where, I don't know, I get re-engaged in the NBA playoffs. Bucks-Celtics sounds fun. Kyrie Giannis sounds fun. As I've stated many times over the past couple of weeks, been kind of bored by the opening round of the NBA playoffs. But luckily, they're almost behind us, and yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Story number three.
Speaking of, we got three first-round series that could be closed out tonight. The Raptors win at home, the Magic are done. If the Sixers win at home, the Nets are done. And if the Blazers win at home, the Thunder are done. They're down 3-1, and to me, that's the most interesting game, Portland, Oklahoma City, because we get the Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook back and forth. Lillard's been spectacular. Russ, not so much. Plus, we get the post-game Barry Trammell, Russell Westbrook interaction. Yeah. Can't wait for that if I happen to be awake. So, four NBA games tonight. Three could be the end of a series. The other game, of course, is the 8:30 tip. Spurs-Nuggets series tied 2-2. That game's going to be played at the Pepsi Center, Denver, Colorado.
Story number four.
Cole Anthony committed to the University of North Carolina earlier today, and that might not sound like a big deal because it's North Carolina getting a five-star prospect, so what? But I wrote this column at CBSSports.com that sort of explains how this is not the way North Carolina's been recruiting lately. They've got two five-stars now in this class after having two five-stars in last season's class, so that's two five-stars in back-to-back classes. First time North Carolina's done that since 2010-2011. And the reason is because of the NCAA investigation that hovered above the program for years. It negatively affected North Carolina recruiting in an undeniable way. But now that that case is in the rearview mirror and everybody knows that North Carolina's not going to be punished for it, Roy Williams and his staff have been able to start recruiting successfully at the highest level of the sport once again. Two five-stars last year. Now two five stars this year, and Cole Anthony, some people think, is the best guard in the class of 2019. Jeff Calkins up next.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN, WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. This is 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.